Hi, and welcome to the second episode of Unknown, Unthinkable, and Undead. Your host, Bev Sninchak, welcome to the second episode, and I'm glad that you're joining us this evening. Tonight, we've got some encounters sent in by a listener, and then also a couple of interesting encounters with a canine type animal, but it's hard to say what kind. You'll see what I mean when I go over that. If you're just joining us, if you have an encounter, true encounter, you'd like to share with us, please send it to our Gmail address at unknown.unthinkable.undead@gmail.com. You can also visit us at unknownunthinkableundead.com, our new website. Just take a jaunt over there, and you're welcome to send us a comment or a question or anything that you would like. So, what we have here today, first of all, we have a listener by the name of Renee. We're not going to use any last names or anything. And she says, for my whole life, I've been sensitive to the paranormal. The house I grew up in was inhabited by spirits. I've seen many a shadow person, spirit, and have even encountered two non-human entities. The house I grew up in had three spirits. One was an older woman who I didn't see very much. I always saw a little girl, though, who told me her name was Annabelle. The other one was an older man in his late 60s and early 70s, dressed in a gray suit. My parents went out for a date night on Saturday nights, and one night I was in the house by myself, asleep on the couch, when I was awoken by the sound of books being placed on bookshelf. I leaned up over the back of the couch to see an old man standing in our front room in front of my mom's bookshelf. He looked at me and I looked at him, and then he disappeared. I called my parents, and of course they didn't believe me, or at least didn't want to cut date night short. When we first moved into the house, my mom and I were in the kitchen loading the dishes. My dad was cooking and everyone was talking and laughing when my hearing went out. All I could hear was this high-pitched squeezing. At that moment, I pushed my mom out of the way just in time to look up and see the screw that held the light fixture. In unscrewing, the light dropped exactly where my mom had been standing. Pictures have also flown off the wall past my dad's head and hitting the back wall, at least 10 feet past my dad. The first encounter with what I can only describe as a demon was in that house. I was 15, I had gotten a Ouija board for Christmas, and I didn't take it seriously. Let me be one to say, Parker Brothers or not, is not a game, and opening myself up to an attachment that took my dead uncle's spirit to pull away. That was just one house, Renee says. When my best friend and I moved into a house, we started hearing this really loud popping noise, like someone was lifting up a floorboard and letting it flop back down. Soon after the noises started, we would see the shadow of a small child, and usually he would peek around the living room door, or we'd catch him running down the hallway. Some friends spent the night and saw him also. My son, at the time, was about 3, and one day he told us he was going to play with Oscar. I knew that he didn't know anybody named Oscar. I asked who he was, and he replied, the boy I play with in my bedroom. When I married my new husband, we moved into a big, beautiful Victorian in a small town called Random, West Virginia. The house had been remodeled, and the minute I saw it, I knew I had to live there. There was something that was drawing me to it. Turned out the landlord my husband had been renting a small apartment from was also the owner of the house, so we were able to rent it and move in. The very first night, I was sitting in the living room, and I saw a woman with dark hair, a high-collar Victorian dress, coming down the stairs and into the kitchen. At this point, I was not fazed by seeing spirits. It was almost comforting. I saw her so much in the year and a half that we lived there that I would tell her hello. At the time, my husband worked overseas, so my kids and I were at home by ourselves. One night, sleeping alone, I was woken up by kids laughing. The thought was that my two kids were still up laughing and playing. So I got up to make sure. Nope. Both of them were sound asleep in their separate rooms. So I figured I must be dreaming. I laid back down and drifted off to sleep again. Then I was woken up again by kids laughing once more. Only this time, it was right by my bed. I peeked my eyes open to barely see two girls standing in front of me giggling. They took off running down the stairs, and then no sound. That was a little freaky, but the worst part of the house was the basement. Not just because it was a basement, but because I could feel something extremely dark down there. I'm also an empath, and let me tell you, the feeling I would get just walking by the basement door would freak anyone out. It was most clearly not human, not normal. And the only other time I had ever felt anything like that in the house was in the hall. The house we are in now has a shadow animal. Our cats play with it. We see it all the time. And we even caught a light anomaly in a picture after a male cat freaked out and would not come out of a room after running in like he was being chased. I told my husband, get your phone and take some pictures. See if anything's in the hall. He did, and the third picture in the series had a white light anomaly that looked like it's headed out of a room and down the hall. I've even walked into places of business and told the workers about spirits in their building. I've learned to embrace my gifts and find it comforting. If y'all are interested in talking more, I would love to share. Thank you, Renee. Renee, thanks very much for sharing your experiences with us. You've lived in some very interesting places and had some very interesting experiences, encounters. And we'd love to hear more from you. So if you would like to send in more encounters, please do so. We appreciate you sharing with us, Renee. And once again, if you have had a true encounter with the unexplained, the paranormal, a cryptid, anything related like that, please go ahead and send your encounter to our Gmail address, unknown.unthinkable.undead@gmail.com, and put in the email subject line true encounter. We won't use your last name unless you tell us to. We'll just go ahead and use your first name. If you want us to use a different first name, we can do that as well. Also, we have a couple of things to look at here, and I'd like your feedback on this. So send me what your thoughts are on this, because these are two very, very interesting cases. And even though they happen in different states, they definitely raised some red flags. The first one happened in North Carolina back in 2019. And a North Carolina woman was killed in a mysterious animal attack. And let's go ahead and get this here. One moment. All right. So, an elderly North Carolina woman died after suffering severe injuries in a mysterious animal attack on a road in the small town of Pantego. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correct. Her name was Brenda Hamilton. She was 77 and a beloved high school teacher. She was found wounded on the side of Indian Run Road and immediately transferred to a local hospital. Unfortunately, she succumbed to her injuries. The Beaufort County Sheriff's Office said that wildlife officials weren't able to immediately identify the animal that mauled her during her daily morning walk. Now, they did preliminary DNA testing facilitated by the North Carolina wildlife biologist, and they eliminated any wild animals indigenous to the area. The thing is, they did find on her canine DNA. The thing is, they don't know what kind of animal was involved in this attack. The canine DNA was found on her clothing, but the testing didn't differentiate between wild canines, such as wolves, and domestic canines. So, still don't know what caused her death. And I mean, you know, obviously she succumbed to severe injuries, but what type of animal attacked her? And this is very curious because a lot of people think that maybe this may have been an attack possibly by a dog man. Dogman is a cryptid, probably almost as common as Bigfoot these days. In fact, to me, it seems to be overtaking Bigfoot as far as the number of reports that have increased dramatically. Now, in this... You can look this up online if you'd like. North Carolina woman killed in mysterious animal attack. And her name again was Brenda Hamilton. May she rest in peace. And again, this was in the small town of Pantego. So you're welcome to look up the news reports about that. And tell me what you think, because it's really interesting. It would seem like with a canine DNA that they would be able to tell something. But to date, as far as I know, they haven't been able to identify. Now, the second story just occurred. Unfortunately, it's very, very sad. But in this particular encounter, a deadly encounter reported by WYMT in Kentucky, comes out of Knott County. A 13-year-old boy, Corey Joseph Godsey, 13 years old. He was attacked by a canine of some sort, but they do not know what kind of canine was responsible for this. What happened here is, and this is the interesting part. This was a canine type animal, and the coroner's state medical examiner's office said the cause of death was consistent with an animal attack, but they have not yet determined the exact type of animal, except that it's a canine type. So the thing is, not only was this boy attacked, but he was found, his body was found several feet up on a hillside in a wooded area during rainy and dark conditions, so difficult that first responders had a hard time finding him. 300 to 400 feet up a hill, very steep, and you're talking about a 13-year-old boy. And as another person in the cryptid community had mentioned, dragging somebody up, a 13-year-old boy, 300 to 400 feet up a steep hill, would be quite a trick. What kind of animal could do that? You know, I don't believe your average dog could do that. We're talking 300 to 400 feet up a steep hill. So it makes you wonder, you know, what kind of canine type animal could be responsible? And again, you know, this is, you know, hearkening back to the first story. Canine type animal. Not sure what it is. So, once again, it really does make me wonder if this might be the result of a dogman attack. It stumps me as far as, you know, what it would have to be an animal that would be incredibly strong to drag a 13-year-old boy 300, 400 feet up a steep hill in rainy and dark conditions. There's a lot of question marks on this one. And so if you want to follow this case, again, it happened in Knott County, Kentucky. It just happened recently. This was last updated Thursday at 9:30 p.m. And his visitation, Corey Godsey's visitation, would have been yesterday at 5 o'clock. His funeral will be today at 1 o'clock. So, it's very, very sad. I would like to know, you know, what we're dealing with here. What could have caused such an attack? And if you look, you'll see that these two are just small examples of other attacks that have taken place. Not only in the United States, but overseas as well. So if you're interested in reading more about this case, you can find it under Kentucky Teen Killed in Possible Animal Attack, Knott County, Kentucky. That's Knott in Kentucky. Now, if you have had an encounter with what you believe to be a cryptid of any kind, whether Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Dogman or anything else, And it's an encounter that happened to you, and you'd like to share that encounter. We can make sure that your identity is kept secret. And make sure you send that first person. Make sure it's between 500 words and 3,000 words. And let us know where you were, what happened, and why exactly you believe your encounter was with a cryptid. Now, I will tell you that in the past, I have been very skeptical of cryptid encounters, even Bigfoot, because it sounds very fantastic and like something that would just be out of a fictional story. However, in the past year in particular, I have taken to listening to countless first-person interviews with people who have had encounters that they can't explain, allegedly true encounters. And one thing I always say is, if you have 1,000 true encounters, allegedly true encounters, if only one of those is in fact a true encounter, then that means that at least one individual has had an encounter with an animal, unknown animal, cryptid of some type that we aren't aware of as of yet. Meaning scientific evidence. So I'm, you know, I'm open-minded on this. I am still on the rails as far as, you know, it's really easy for people to make up stories and add fantastic elements. But when you're listening to these first-person encounters, I've noticed that there are certain tics, there's certain use of language, there's certain ways that people recount the experience that leads me to believe that some of these are either, you know, it was an encounter and it was embellished. Not to mislead anybody, but because psychologically, you know, things can happen to you and your mind can play tricks on you. You can see things that maybe aren't exactly what you think they are. But again, if you've got 1,000 encounters and 999 of those are misidentification or made up stories, there's still one left. And if there's one that is in fact an accurate and true encounter, then that means that there's possibly some sort of as yet unknown by science anyway animal cryptid out there. And these particular encounters that turn out to be deadly, you know, it's worth it to take it into account and wonder what's going on here. So I'll leave it up to you. What do you think? Go ahead and send in your comments to unknown.unthinkableundead@gmail.com, or feel free to send your comments through our website, unknownunthinkableundead.com, and we'll be glad to share some of your comments or your questions. So for now, we're going to wrap that up, and thanks for listening to Unknown Unthinkable Undead, where fear comes home to roost. Have a good evening.
Bye.